wireless headphones. That'll be $200.
I'll use my Capital One Quicksilver card.
Now that's a hit. You used the Capital One Quicksilver card, which makes you the hero of every purchase. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere.
I wanted running music, but unlimited 1.5% cash back is pretty heroic.
Good instincts. Every hero needs a theme song. The Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 11th day. 9-11, will live in infamy. This 11th day of September 2023. And tonight, our producer is none other than Derek. Say, hey, Derek.
Hey, Derek.
There you go. Yeah, I tell you, that's why he's our producer. He knows how to get it done. And then we have way out there that legendary parson, Pastor Joe Larson in Missouri. Hey, Joe.
It's more likely infamous, but we'll go with legendary.
Yep. Well, we got to start out here tonight because we have a prayer request, a fellow who's very concerned about his wife, Laura Bogus. And she's going to have surgery and a gallbladder removed. And she's 50 tomorrow, I guess, and she's 53 years old. And her husband is very, very concerned. And he's begging that you folks out there would join me as we pray for her tomorrow. I don't know all the details about her physical well-being. But if you'll join for me and join with me in prayer. Boy, God answers prayer. I've seen him answer it time and time again. And it would sure help Laura out. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I don't know Laura, but or maybe I do and don't know it because I meet a lot of people. But, Lord, I just want to hold her up tonight. Just hold her up tonight, Lord. And ask, as she goes into that surgery, Father God, that you would guide the surgeon's hand. And, Lord, again, that you would bless her in every area. She's a professing believer. That you would bless her in every area, that she could receive that blessing, Lord. And that she would come through it. She would come through with flying colors, Lord. And that you would also, Father God, be a comfort to her husband at this time. As he's very, very concerned. And so, this we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Okay.
And trust me, we'll all need prayer, and some of us are going to need a lot more than others.
Well, you're not kidding about that. Okay, so we have, the title of the message was, Where is the Place Where Light Dwelleth? And we'll get into that in a little while, because that's right out of God's Word, the Bible. But we're starting tonight in Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5. And so, Joe, if you just, would you like to read? Sure. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of the tree of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, lest ye shall touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Well,
kind of like the first lie on earth, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, let's look at this, because there's a lot of misconception about the serpent here. A lot of people get the picture of this kind of like an anaconda snake or a python wrapped around the
python, or yeah.
Yeah, well, here, when we took, remember, he appeared there. Remember his vesture. The Bible says that Satan was the most beautiful creature God ever made, and tells you that in Ezekiel chapter 28. His vesture was filled with precious stones. Eve now was a prototype. She was the first woman, and she was the second most beautiful creature. Now, what would attract the second most beautiful creature more than the first, right?
Right, not much.
Now, Satan was well aware of Eve's nature. He had been observing her. Remember, he was in the garden before she got there. So he knew that as of yet, she had no sin nature. So she didn't have a sin nature for him to go after. But he knew that she was the weaker vessel. And if he could get her to do one thing, if he could get her to just to do one thing, and that is doubt the word of God.
God, amen, yeah.
If she could get her...
only given them one commandment, right?
Well, if God...
As far as we know.
Well, first of all, he gave that commandment to Adam, and then Adam passed it on to Eve. And here, now, if she would doubt God's truth and his sovereign goodness, Joe, she would develop automatically resentment. Is this how women today are? I mean, in the natural,
yes,
and the flesh.
The resentment of being told this or that, or having to, yeah. There's a lot of resentment, especially you look at the feminist movement. It's turned into actual hatred some places.
So what did she do here, okay? Now, remember, Satan knew, in that garden right there, now even though Satan was the most powerful angel, in that garden, Adam had more power. God had given Adam complete power in that garden. So that was his home front. Adam could take the head off that serpent in that garden, couldn't he?
I have a question. That brought up a question. I was asked by somebody, and I couldn't answer. Could Satan have been shown himself in his beautiful form and in the form of a snake? Was he able to shift his appearance? Because angels can, from what I understand, sometimes take different appearances.
Well, of course, he would appear in a way that would be desirable to Eve.
Right, he could appear both ways to different people.
Well, yeah, but look, he wanted her to hear him, listen to him,
right,
and trust him.
He appeared in a form that she would look to and want to listen to.
Right.
I just was wondering, though, that if he could do the transformation, if, you know, later he appeared as the serpent just gliding through, and then he showed himself as he really was to Eve.
So he says, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree in the midst, that's the middle, means the middle of the garden. God has said, it shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So what happened here now? Here he did two things. Remember what the Bible says? It says about taking from or adding to, taking from or adding to. Now this week we...
You don't, not one jot, not one tittle.
Right, and this is what we've been talking about. Last week we preached on that, the King James Bible, and how the NIV removed 64,700-something words.
Words, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a little more than a jot and a tittle, right?
Yeah, okay. And here, so now what has she done? She added to it. He never told her she couldn't touch it, right? So she added to it by saying, well, And he said, yeah, you should not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. So she already added to God's word. But then, how did she take from God's word? She took from God's word here, too. She took from God's word in the sense she doubted him. When she doubted, she didn't believe
him. That was after he said, ye shall not surely die. The serpent helped create the doubt in Eve, and then she doubted.
Okay, so did she die?
Wait a minute. Why would I die just by eating this fruit?
Yeah. Okay, well, if he had, first of all, he told her this. For God doth know in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So what does that tell her? Well, he's
but
trying
God
to...
is hiding things from her.
That's right.
Things. Didn't want her to know what he knew. That way he could have control and power.
So Adam's big mistake was what?
His pride. He didn't want to admit that he didn't tell Eve to...
No, he lists his big
leave the garden.
His big mistake was that he listened to his wife and not God.
Right. Well, exactly. That's what I mean. His pride, he listened to Eve and didn't do what he should have done, which was...
How many other times in the Bible have we seen that, where men should have listened to God, but listened to their wives instead?
Too many.
How about Abraham?
People out there, because we're going to remind a lot of women.
Well, Abraham.
Yes, Abraham.
You see, God gave people the marching order. He gave them for, here you have the pecking order, okay, or the order of observance here. And just like in the Trinity, the Father gives the marching orders, the Son carries them out, and the Holy Spirit provides the power.
Yeah.
In the family, the husband is the head of the house, and the wife and the children, or the husband and the wife are the head of the children. Okay.
Right.
So the wife obeys her husband, and the children obey their parents.
Parents.
Now, in the Trinity, even though in the line of authority, you have, if you will say, chain of command, as we remember, God the Father gives the orders, God the Son carries them out, and the Holy Spirit provides the power. Here in the family, the chain of the command, again, we take a look at the Father is the head of the house, the wife's obedient to the Father, to the man, and then the children to their husband. Now, in the Trinity... In their deity, they're all equal. They're all equal in their deity, and the same thing.
They're all one. Without one, they can't function. They all function together.
And the same thing in the family, they're all equal in their humanity. The father, the wife, and the children are all equal in their humanity, but they have chain of command.
Didn't God say the husband and wife were to become as one?
Yeah. So they're all
equal. They were to function as one unit.
So... You say, now, I know that's what God says, and I know that's what the Bible teaches, but I don't want to agree with that. So, I mean, is this what basically we hear all the time?
This is what we hear all the time, but God said, but, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't believe it. I don't like that.
Yeah. And so what happens? Who always ends up being right?
God.
Okay. When you go against the Word of God... Do you ever win?
No.
It's always a losing proposition, isn't it?
Well, I know I can testify in my case. I kept telling God I wasn't going to be any preacher. I had my life all planned out and everything, and I wasn't going to be a preacher. It didn't last long.
So God says, look, I'm going to get you right where I want you, right when I want you. I can do it my way or yours, and your ways can hurt, huh?
My way or the hard way, the easy way or the hard way.
Yeah. And so let's go now to the book of Job. I know, because I went through that same thing too. There was no way in saying, and it's funny how the people that God will call, you know, you say, and I remember the three guys that people would never have thought would be preachers all turned out to be preachers. The three of us that grew up together. All right, because if God calls you, you just say yes. It won't do you any good because he'll whisper to you. If that don't work, he'll speak to you. If that don't work, he knows what does. Okay, and he can beat you over the head, huh?
Yeah, some of us take a 2x4, you know, instead of a gentle voice. But, you know, we got the message.
Let's go over to Job chapter 4.
All right.
And in Job chapter 4, I'll give a little bit of a thing here. Eliphaz the Temanite here, he was one of Job's friends. But with friends like Eliphaz, who needs enemies? And he came to try to straighten Job out, okay? To tell Job that he's being punished justly because of his sins, that if he hadn't sinned the way he had, and basically, come on, Job, admit it, right? Here, you're the guy. He says, behold, thou hast instructed many. Thou hast strengthened the weak in hands, and the word have thy upholded them that was falling, and thou hast strengthened thy feeble knees. But now it's come upon thee, and thou faintest and touchest thee, and thou art troubled. So he's telling Job, come on, Job, stand up like a man and accept it. Admit what you've done. But Job, he didn't do anything wrong, did he?
No, he didn't.
And so old Eliphaz
telling him, if you admit it, then God may take the punishment away. And Job goes, I can't admit something I didn't do.
And so Eliphaz tells Job, hey, guess what, folks? He tells Job that God doesn't, you know, innocent people never suffer. Innocent people don't suffer, Job. He says this. Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off? Well, you know, we see innocent people. The Bible's filled, okay, with martyrs, innocent people that perished, right?
Yes, I mean, and to this day, we still see martyrs being punished and
there was
punished, yeah.
There was none more innocent than the Lord himself, huh?
Self, exactly.
And so now
they did to him, the most innocent in the world, and look what they did to him.
So now here old Eliphaz, he thinks he's you know, on top of things, and he thinks he's pretty smart, and he thinks when it comes to discernment, he's got a hold on things. But then start in verse 12 and read through 21.
All right. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise.
No, you're in the wrong. You're in the wrong. Chapter 4, verse 12.
Oh, it's 4. I'm sorry. While you were talking, I was listening. I jumped over to 5. Yeah. Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof. And thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, fear came upon me, and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his Maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in the houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Doth not their excellency which is in them go away? They die, even without wisdom.
All right, so here now, old Eliphaz, you know, where he says this, that the hair of my flesh stood up, did you know that that's happened to me on several occasions where I've been around Satan-possessed, people that were possessed by the devil? One time I was going to do a television program, and Pastor Fred and I were, we had stopped for some breakfast. And Joe, the guy that was going to be on there was supposed to be a former satanic high priest who had gotten saved, who had gotten out of Satanism, gotten saved, and he was going to give his testimony. Well, what happened is I was sitting with Pastor Fred, and we were talking, having breakfast. All of a sudden, Joe, the hair on the back of my neck, the hair on my arms raised. I mean, it raised straight up. Now, this will happen to you, too, if you're out, say, on a golf course, and that happens, you want to lay low, because that means lightning's about to strike.
Strike, huh?
And so here, just as that was happening, I had turned, and here come this fellow, all dressed in black with white hair. And as he came closer, as he looked into my eyes, as our gaze met, there was a look of like a fear in his eyes, and he hurried and he moved past. Well, guess what happened? When we got to the television program, when all the pastors, there were several pastors, were to go to prayer, and he was supposed to be in there with us. He came in there, and he couldn't stay. He could only last about a minute, and he just got up and left.
He just had to run. He found men of faith there and could not people he couldn't lie to.
Right. He wasn't, yeah. His spirit and our spirits were totally different. Now, another time that happened, I went to the parole board, the Ohio parole board, and I was going to be speaking on behalf of an inmate on death row who was on death row for crimes he didn't commit. And so he asked me to go to the parole board and speak on his behalf. And as I was there, all of a sudden, same thing happened. Hair on my arms stood straight up. The hair on the back of my neck. I'm looking at this. I'm saying, what in the world? You know. And I turn, and these two prosecutors were involved. And I knew that. I knew that they had been involved in satanic rituals. When they saw me, the look in her eyes was like, again, pure fear. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world.
Within the world, yeah.
And as I looked at him, they turned the other way, and they soon vanished. They soon got out of there. And so that is, boy. And now here this is Job. All the way back in Job, how many thousands of years ago was this written? And we understood that. And then he goes on. Now, old Eliphaz here thinks he's talking to God or to a God, one of God's angels, but he's not. He's talking to Satan. And he said, it stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. So Satan is telling Eliphaz, look, you put trust in God. Look what he did to his own angels.
Yeah,
he cast them out. now listen, if he would do this to angels, which are much greater than you, let's go on. How much less is them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is of the dust which were crushed before
man. And made from the dust of the earth.
Right. And so he goes on and he's telling Eliphaz, you trust in God. The whole purpose was this. He was to make Eliphaz doubt, turn him against God, and use Eliphaz to turn Job against God. Eliphaz was to go and say, Job, why are you putting up with this? Why do you think, you know, God, look what God's doing to you, Job. Look what God's doing to you. Okay, why should you trust in him? So he goes on and he says, they are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish for without any regarding. Doth not their ecstasy which is in them go away? They die even without wisdom. So we're going to play a clip. And folks, now this clip is going to be, it's kind of a, well, it's a very, very strong clip, but you want to listen to this because this clip is from a former abortionist who came out of the child killing industry. And his name is Anthony Leventino. Anthony Leventino. And he's going to tell you about the procedure, what you should know. And he's testifying before Congress. It's a very short clip, so just listen to this, and then I've got an announcement to make. So go ahead and take it away, Derek.
Levitino, we'll begin with you. Welcome.
Thank you, Chairman, and members of the committee. I only have 5 minutes, so I'm going to get right to it. Second trimester D&E abortions perform between roughly 14 and 24 weeks of gestation. Your patient today is 17 years old. She's 22 weeks pregnant. Her baby is the length of your hand plus a couple of inches. And she's been feeling her baby kick for the last several weeks, but she's asleep on an operating room table. You walk into that operating room scrubbed and gowned, and after removing laminaria, you introduce a suction catheter into the uterus. This is a 14 French suction catheter. If she were 12 weeks pregnant or less, basically the width of your hand or smaller, you could basically do the entire procedure with this. But babies this big don't fit through catheters this size. After suctioning the amniotic fluid out from around the baby, you introduce an instrument called a Sofer clamp. It's about 13 inches long. It's made of stainless steel. The business end of this clamp is about 2.5 inches long and a half inch wide. There are rows of sharp teeth. This is a grasping instrument. When it gets a hold of something, it does not let go. A D&E procedure is a blind abortion, so picture yourself introducing this and grabbing anything you can blindly and pull, and I do mean hard, and out pops a leg about that big, which you put down on the table next to you. Reach in again, pull out an arm about the same length, which you put down on the table next to you, and use this instrument again and again to tear out the spine, the intestines, the heart and lungs. Head in the baby that size is about the size of a large plum. Can't see it, but you've pretty good idea you've got it if you've got your instrument around something and your fingers are spread about as far as they go. You know you did it right if you crush down on the instrument and white material runs out of the cervix. That was the baby's brains. Then you could pull out skull pieces. And you have a day like I had a lot of times, sometimes a little face comes back and stares back at you. Congratulations, you just successfully performed a second trimester D&E abortion. You just affirmed her right to choose.
All right, Joe. Now, the reason we did this tonight was because, folks, we've been trying to tell you, coming November 7th, Issue 1 is a horrible piece of legislation, and it would make child killing, the way that this thing is worded, Joe, it would make it where you don't even have to be a licensed child molester, licensed child abortionist, what they call physicians. Anyone could do it. The way this is, not only this is legislation, this Issue 1. It's from the pit of hell. Now, Joe, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get the people in Ohio to understand that from Genesis to Revelation, Joe, the one thing God asked, demands, is obedience. Obedience. And, you know, when he says resistance to tyranny is obedience to God, this is absolute tyranny. It's evil as can be. And folks, to fail, whenever you fail to resist tyranny, that's disobedience. I'm trying to get you to understand what you need to do. You need to be active. And I mean active in every way. I mean placing out yard signs. I mean calling people, telling them just how evil, just absolutely evil this Issue 1 is. Now, just let me give you some examples of that. Here's some of their misleading language. When they say, every individual has a right to make and carry out one's own reproductive decisions. You know what they're telling you? They're telling you that your child, your minor child at 12 years old, has the right, with taxpayer funding, to go to have one of those perverts from the public school take them up to an abortion in the middle of the day without you even knowing about it. And guess what happens when something goes wrong and your little girl bleeds to death? Well, you know, she had the right, okay?
To do it, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Right. Here's the other one, Joe. The state shall not directly or indirectly burden, penalize, or prohibit or interfere with. Okay, these words are specific legal terms interpreted by the courts nationwide to strike down any and all parental notification and consent laws, Joe.
Any and all. I like those. Those are good legal terms. They cover a big, big, broad band of things, don't they?
Right. Then it goes on to say this. An individual voluntary exercise of the right. Again, this right is unregulated abortion on minors, too. Not only is it unregulated abortion, guess what, Joe? It's for the surgical mutilation, what they call transsurgery. It's the mutilation right. of the children. It's castrating the boys and cutting off the breasts of the young girls and whatever that these perverts do. So, and that, you know, it says the state will not interfere with a person or an entity that assists in individual exercising of the rights. In other words, Joe, if the, one of these young girls say, you know, I don't want to go to an abortionist. Would you do it for me? And her girlfriend says, okay, we'll do it for you here. If the people of Ohio don't stand up, then they deserve every bad thing that can happen to them, really.
They're going to have a 13-year-old girl taking RU-486 in the middle of a Saturday night with a girlfriend.
That's right. And so, you know, we have to know. Now, Joe, who are the people that are behind this, Joe? These are the same people, Joe. These are the same people that are behind the child sex trafficking, Joe. These are the same people. These are evil people. They're the same people,
Joe. The ones that want open borders, that want, you know, criminals released back on the streets.
They want to change the word of pedophile to minor attraction.
Attracted person, right.
Right. And they want to legalize pedophilia.
Everything. Operations.
These are the same people that are out there showing drag queens going to having drag queen reading, book reading. These are people that are evil to the core, evil to the core. And so, folks, you better understand this. You need to get involved. Now, here in Geauga County in Northeast Ohio, in Geauga County, tomorrow night, September 12th, there's going to be a Geauga County Tea Party Town Hall. It starts at 6:30. The Right to Life Action Coalition is going to be there speaking. And the address is going to be, it's the Metzenbaum Center. It's the Metzenbaum Center at 8200 Cedar Road. 8200 Cedar Road. I'm going to give this announcement again at the top of the hour. And here's why, Joe, because tomorrow in Ohio here, this program will be replayed at 5 in the morning. It'll be from 3 o'clock in the morning, rather, to it'll be replayed at 10 o'clock in the morning and also 3 in the afternoon. But it, so they divide it up. The first hour is at 10, the second hour is at 3. So they'll hear this, what I just gave tonight, and they'll hear it again tomorrow three times. And so
right.
This is why, you know, I'm giving this. I want to make sure, because I didn't get this notice quick enough. And so, again, that is tomorrow. The Right to Life Action Coalition will be at the Metzenbaum Center at 8200 Cedar Road at 6:30. And, folks, again, you need to show up. Lord's willing, I'm going to be there, okay, in speaking. Again, if you don't stand and you don't fight, you don't deserve to, you deserve whatever bad things happen to you. It's some, you know, and that's just the way it is. Joe, you have an article. Go ahead and get it done.
I'm just going to add to that. You can't wait for somebody else to do it this time, Ohio. It's going to take a lot of you getting out there and doing something to put a halt to this. Yeah, there's a Navy SEAL, a great man, Jack Carr, and he wrote a piece that was published on Fox News. I can't believe he put it there. And I just kind of want to go over part of it. He was reminiscing about the 9/11 attacks, the hope and lessons from Afghanistan. And he talked about in all the years since 9/11, he said, I think of the flag officers who year after year for two decades went to Congress, the American people, to say time and time again, we're making progress. We need just a little more time, a little more recesses. We need to increase our funding on our hard-earned gains for the Afghan people. These are the same people who had 20 years to prepare for the eventual withdrawal. Withdrawal, and you saw what happened then.
Military-industrial complex, aren't they?
Yep. Has anybody been held accountable? Of course, no.
No.
Then he says this. I want to get this in. I want everyone to read Craig Whitlock's The Afghanistan Papers. Craig Whitlock's The Afghanistan Papers. Find out what those officers were saying in classified interviews that were unearthed through Freedom of Information Acts about how the politicians and military commanders were deceiving you and their own troops through this war. And he said too many of the elected officials were blinded by the big military with their uniforms and badges and degrees. And he said most of these people got advanced in doing the social justice and checking boxes, not because of military planning or combat. So a lot of those same commanders are sitting on board of defense industry companies whose weapon systems they approved for purchase when they were back in uniform. And they're all now profiting from a new war in Ukraine, enjoying this four-star military pension. So he goes on to talk about this: the corruption in our own country is our downfall, our own corruption in our government, our military, and it's continuing to this day. And he goes on, and now remember, this man was started off as a junior SEAL, worked his way all the way up to a Special Operations Task Force commander as an officer, so he knows what he's talking about. And he said, I'm thinking today of all those people who had to deal with the blunders, the soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, came home with the physical, emotional trauma of the battlefield, those who never came back, the families who had to deal with it, those who have taken their life since, and there have been a lot of suicides from men in combat. And he said, I think of the blood, sweat, and tears still staining Afghan soil. And he talks about how they fought in Afghanistan and how those far from the battlefield snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. You and I talked about that. We had won with a few special forces teams in Afghanistan, and then the, high brass came in and really messed it up. And they said, I remember the appointed officials in D.C. going on vacation when Kabul fell. I think of the lessons not learned, the history books not opened. Back in 1979, Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan. 9 years later, they left. They departed the graveyard of empires. New York Times wrote about their great embarrassing withdrawal. The invincible Soviet army faces a period of reckoning. Just a couple of years later, the red Soviet flag with the old hammer and sickle that flew over the Kremlin for the last time, it fell because of that war they tried to fight. But we thought we could do it. And he goes on about the bodies falling from planes. I'll never forget watching the people try and climb aboard that airplane, falling off, dying. Our brave troops forced to defend a disadvantaged position by somebody in an air-conditioned office in the Beltway, the 13 dead Americans in caskets, and remembered, he said, a lifetime bureaucrat, his name was Biden, busy checking his watch on the tarmac at the Dover Air Force Base. Those guys were going by, all those dead were going by him, and what did he do? Sat there and kept checking his watch. When's this going to be over? That was one of the worst things I ever saw a man do. I added that. And then he said, I think of all the dead, the wounded, that trusted these officers that led us. I think of the U.S. citizens left behind in Afghanistan. I think of the beheadings and executions of those who worked with us, the torture and murder of their wives and children. I think of the veterans who mobilized using public funding and their own money to try and extract those who had believed in us. I think of the politicians and media who were anxious to get away and think of something else. I think of those who will never, never be held accountable. But I remember the flags in the wake of 9/11, the brave firefighters, police, paramedics, first responders. I recall the hundreds of thousands of Americans who lined up to give blood. I remember all those who stood up after 9/11. Today, I remember those who stood and answered the call, who raised their right hand, swore an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I want to remind every veteran out there, we're still under that oath to defend the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. You're still under the oath. And he said, I hope these memories give me hope that America can get stronger and wiser, that there are those out there who are holding the line despite the actions of those in fancy Washington suits or tailored uniforms of their capital. Our future depends, he said, well, there's hope in the lessons of the past. But as it was passed to me and the SEAL teams, hope is not a course of action. Our future depends on dusting off the history books, heeding their lessons, and applying those lessons to go forward. We owe those who sacrificed on 9/11 and the Afghan dirt nothing, nothing less. I thought that summed up a lot of my thoughts, and I'll bet 10 to 1, Pastor Ernie, it hits a lot of yours. There's hope in the brave patriots of this country, but now we have to have more of you stand up with those brave patriots, raise your voices and say it's time to stop the insanity, it's time to stop the communist revolution, it's time we take America back.
Thank you, Joe,
for letting me do that.
Did you watch? I watched quite a while the 9/11 ceremonies that took place.
Some of it was sickening.
It was when I watched Austin and Millie, when I watched these two come up there and hear you talk about these two guys that have done more to destroy this nation. They have weakened our military. People, they don't understand why people, they've made it very, very clear that they would rather have perpetual sodomites, LGBTQ, or drag queens to enlist than regular soldiers and patriotic. They know there's no room for patriotic American soldiers. These two.
Oh, no room for Christian conservatives, that's for sure.
That's exactly right. And so here, you know, when the troops laugh and the troops talk about Austin and Millie, drag queens. They call them drag queens. That's how they refer to them. And it made me sick watching them there in their bright, shiny uniforms with all those fake medals on them. And these were the people. When Obama said, look, we got to get rid of these patriot generals, he purged 11 four-star generals, and he said, we got to replace them. We got to get some good bootlickers.
He got rid of 200 Christian conservative high-ranking officers.
260 flag officers. 260?
260, yeah.
Yeah, and so, anyhow, and when I looked at that, and I looked at the Millie in that uniform, how he disgraced that uniform, just like Austin did before him, how he disgraced that uniform. It just really made me sick. And so, anyhow, we have
that whole thing, and we still, I think of what's happening up there, and I just pray that the people out there will start seeing the truth. These people are using social engineering to move forward in the ranks. The high-ranking generals we have are not getting there through studies and military tactics and command decisions. It's how well you do in the social engineering field. We did a story a couple of years ago about a young airborne officer that worked his way up to general. They said, and nothing in the way he got there had anything to do with the military. It was all through following social engineering and going along with what the military wanted, and he ended up being a general quicker than he ever thought possible. And we did that story. And I noticed I never heard about that again after we put it on the air. It was out there, one of those stories that kind of blipped and was gone, never to be heard from again.
Well, you'll climb the ranks too if you're a transgender or if you're a woman. Just being a woman is going to help you get in there because that's what they want to do. They want to.
Diversity and equity.
Yeah.
And folks, remember, equity means we want equal outcomes. It doesn't mean we want equality, equal opportunity, equal chances. It means we want the outcome of every soldier to be the same. We want you to be a good little obedient
transgender
child of the state.
So if you're a homosexual or a transgender under Millie and Austin, you are going to go climb through the ranks quicker.
You'll also get all your surgeries free. The Army's going to pay for them, and you can take, 280 days out of a 365-day year to have your transition surgeries done. Doesn't need a lot of time to be deployed to combat, does it?
Right, and if you're a woman that gets pregnant, they will insist you, encourage you to have an abortion, and pay for it as many as you'd like. That's the wickedness.
Yeah.
That is the absolute wickedness there. And I can tell you, it's just unbelievable. Okay, Peter Ducey reveals White House shameful excuse for Joe Biden skipping the 9/11 memorial ceremony. The regime sent Kamala Harris to Ground Zero to participate in the 9/11 remembrance ceremony. And I saw her there giggling and laughing in New York while Joe Biden heads to Alaska. Kamala Harris giggled and smiled at the 9/11 memorial service. Okay, it goes on to say, after spending a few days in India and Vietnam. Oh, did you see him there?
While you were saying that, he messed up so bad. That was the most pathetic. It would have been better if he had never been there. It was so horrible.
But here's the thing. Did you see the way that those politicians, those leaders, looked at each other? Like, what is he talking about? Okay.
Yeah, they had no idea. He was mumbling, and then his own staff had to shut him up, cut him off. He was wandering around looking like a lost idiot. I mean, it was, bad. I felt so sorry for America. Except we deserved it as a nation. We elected that, stolen.
Not we didn't elect him. Okay, let me.
What I meant was, he's
Dominion. Dominion elected him.
Dominion with the Zuckerbucks with all the money.
Zuckerbucks, yeah,
and
all of
the deep state hiding the truth about Hunter Biden's laptop. We could go on and on all night.
I believe he got 99% of all the dead people's votes.
Yeah,
and some of those, and it was an amazing thing how many people, a couple thousand people living at the same address,
mm-hmm.
all of those people. And
after the election, they found thousands of votes that all came from the same place, same person, and yet they go, there's no problem with our election.
Yeah, well, see, Brett Baer doesn't think that's evidence.
The proof?
Yeah, Brett Baer doesn't think that election fraud is evidence, that... All of those illegal votes. In fact, I got a number of articles right here talking about those illegal votes. But anyhow,
they're still coming up with stuff.
And so here he goes on.
Look what he did today. The U.S. advances prisoner swap with Iran, and the cherry on top was $6 billion in frozen Iranian funds released. He cleared the way today for five Americans that were detained in Iran by giving a blanket waiver for international banks to transfer $6 billion in frozen Iranian money from South Korea to Qatar without fear of sanctions. And then we're going to give them the $6 billion on top of a swap. This, they are begging and asking now for every terrorist organization in the world now knows it is time to kidnap Americans because Americans are going to pay the tribute. They're going to pay the ransom to get their people back. This is going to be making money, honey. This was the dumbest thing that could have happened, right?
Well, Obama's down in his basement, and he's got the microphones in Joey's ears telling him, here's what you're going to do, Joey. Here's what you're going to do. Remember, we'll do your thinking for you. And here's what Ducey says. He says, quite frankly, I prefer to stay away. Anyway, I prefer he stay away. He will be spared one of his stories and how he can relate like he did with the people at Lahaina, how he can relate because of a kitchen fire, with those people that got burned to death there. And now he said, Biden was talking about how he attended the day after, and he didn't.
The day after. That was another lie. He was never there.
Yeah.
I can't believe that the President of the United States comes out, tells a bald-faced lie. I was there the day after 9/11 helping the rescuers and all this. We out here in America, we call it, where I live, Bravo Sierra. And you would think that would be the headline in every news agency in America. The President made a bold-faced lie about something as important as 9/11. And it's basically, we had trouble finding it, didn't we?
Yeah.
That is pathetic. It's a sign of the times, and Americans, that ought to wake you up. We have this lying, evil, wicked man as president. Nobody seems to care. And we better get angry. We better start fighting.
Well, some of us have been doing that, Joe, all along. Some of us have never stopped.
A long, long time.
Okay, yeah. For over 50 years, we've been fighting without stopping. And we have...
In my case, it's only been about 35 or so.
Gee, you're just a kid.
Just a wet-nosed kid. I was having a little trouble recovering from some problems in Vietnam.
Yeah, I guess when you get your head shot just about off, that can...
kind of messed up. I didn't make it home for dinner. Things kind of went downhill from there.
Yeah. All righty. Here, you heard about the Burbank Democrat mayor gets spanked by drag queen at child-friendly Democratic fundraiser. Here, Burbank City Mayor, a real pervert, Mayor Constantine Anthony was filmed getting spanked by another real pervert, another drag queen, at a fundraiser for communist Senate candidate in California.
Fun until it started to hurt, and then he had to tell the drag queen to stop because it was getting too hard.
Yeah.
Oh, it was embarrassing. I was afraid for a minute he was going to pull down these pants. He was having so much fun.
Yeah, well, people are leaving California in record numbers. With what is happening recently, the pro-pedophile legislation they just passed out there is really, really getting bad.
You mean the one that the Daily Signal just reported today, the California Assembly passed last Friday? Did you do this story Friday?
No, I didn't do it yet. Mm-mm.
The California State Assembly passed a bill that would require judges in child custody cases to consider whether a parent has affirmed a child's gender transition by making gender affirmation an equal part of a child's health, safety, and welfare under state law. The bill AB 957 passed the Assembly, and it passed the Senate last Wednesday, 30-9. It passed their House, 57-16. Newsom said he's going to sign it. And under it, parents who refuse to participate in transgenderism by pretending their child is a different gender could be guilty of failing to provide for the health, safety, and welfare, therefore losing custody to another parent or to the state. Several people are warning it is time to leave, flee
yeah,
California.
Joe, it is.
If you love your children, get out of California.
Yeah. Joe, here, well, we got to tell you, it's all about running people out. It's all about a land grab. It's all about buying property very, very cheap. This is what's going on. These people are as crooked and corrupt, and Newsom and the rest of them are involved. They purposely want to run all the decent people out of California, and they want to buy their property, liquid their, the next thing is like burning it off. Okay, we're coming up to a break, and when we come back from the break, I've got an announcement to make, and then I got a clip to play, and you'll be very interested in this clip. You want to hear it. Be right back. Don't go away. More to come.
You will fail. So what? Everybody does. But your gym, your watch, your yoga pants, they pretend you won't. So when you miss a day, eat the pancakes. Give up on a workout? You failed? Seriously, what the hell? We're BODi. We've been a part of that too, but not anymore. At BODi, we're rejecting perfection and embracing reality. Not in a Pizza Monday kind of way, in a loving your whole life kind of way. In a this workout is fun, and it's okay if I take a week off kind of way. In an I'm eating healthy, and it's okay if I indulge kind of way. In a I like myself no matter what kind of way. Yeah, you will fail. We all will. But we're not going to let that be the end. You see that? We're already making progress. So let's keep going. We are BODi. Start your free trial at BODi.com. That's BODi.com.